You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, the Suns and Clippers went down to the wire with an instant classic last night. With all the attention on Devin Booker heading into the game, DeAndre Ayton was the hero with 24 points for Phoenix, including the game-winning alley-oop with under a second left that left everyone stunned. Phoenix was only down one at the end because Paul George missed two critical free throws with under 8 seconds to go there. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joining us now. Chris, you stayed up late for that one. It was worth it. What was the biggest reason the Suns won?
Jen, I hate to say this because obviously over a 48-minute game, there are a lot of factors that go into who wins and loses.
Uh-oh.
And the guy I'm about to name was tremendous for the most part down the stretch. But there's no way around it. It is what it is. They won the game because Paul George missed those two free throws.
That's okay.
It's as simple as that. Look, I get it. They're not in position to win. If he doesn't score 9 points in the final 241, they're not in position to win. If he doesn't go on a personal 6-2 run over like 40 seconds to give them a 1-point lead with 22 seconds left to play. But the fact of the matter is this. If he makes those free throws, you're an 85% career foul shooter, 89% in the playoffs this year. You're hot as fire. And you have a chance to push the lead to three. If he hits two of them, likely if he hits one of them, we're not talking about the greatness of DeAndre Ayton's dunk and the great pinpoint pass by Jay Crowder and the courageous screen by Devin Booker and the masterful play call by Monty Williams. We are talking about a 1-1 series that many of would feel the Clippers really can win this thing without Kawhi Leonard, which is unfathomable. But, of course, that didn't happen because he missed. So, it is what it is. Paul George has to own this. I like what he said at the end of the game.
What do you think?
You know, where he said, look, I'm not going to make too much out of it. That's all he can say. That's what he has to say to get himself past it for game three. But this is going to be a tough one to get past because those two free throws cost in the game. At the very least, they're in overtime, and we see what happens there.
Well, I'm glad he's not making a bunch of it, but you made a lot about it, so that's good for me, though, Chris. I don't need him to make any more. And to see Skip Bayless just sitting over here squirming, talking about the referees cheated us out of a ball game, does me much pleasure today. But I thought the execution down the stretch, because if you look at it, Chris, look at what the Suns were able to do. Okay, Paul George hits his shot, gets the layup, gives them a 1-point lead. Devin Booker races down the court because in like 3-4 seconds, hits a jumper. Now, Devin Booker had been struggling all night with his shot. So just think about that. He comes down the court without hesitation. Boom. Paul George comes back, hits a fadeaway. They're up two. And if you're not mistaken, Devin Booker loses the ball out of bounds after Patrick Beverley makes a great play. They review it. They give the ball to the Clippers. Now you got to call timeout. They fall Paul George in the backcourt. Paul George. I was thinking this the whole way. I was like, Paul George is going to miss these free throws. But you're like, you know what? I ain't have the courage. Skip said I ain't have the courage of my conviction. But I did have the courage on that second one. I said, he gonna miss this one too. Hit sin. And just like that, voila, Cabal don't lie. Y'all got away with one earlier, Skip.
He went LeBron James.
Let's get this. Yep. Why you gotta keep breaking up LeBron? LeBron ain't bothering nobody.
You bring him up way more than I do.
And so now, they get the ball. Skip's crying again, talking about the ball was off DeAndre Ayton. Monty Williams designs a play, calls a play that they've never practiced. Think about the execution that that's going to take. I mean, it's one thing to call something in a regular season game, Chris, but to call this in a playoff game with your, with the game on the line. Because if you don't get this, it's over. You're going back to L.A. 1-1, and the Clippers are feeling very good. It's like mission accomplished. We split. We're coming home. We know how we play in our building. Considering the last time we were here, we were down 25, got the crowd in it, we won. That, and you look at the two, the guy that finished that play, DeAndre Ayton, and I thought Cameron Payne. Cameron Payne has 18 assists, one turnover in this series. 29 points last night. He's been phenomenal filling in for Chris Paul. And I told Chris, Skip this, Chris. If you look at DeAndre Ayton, he's a different animal than what the Clippers have faced. Different than Porzingis. He's very different than Rudy Gobert. Because Rudy Gobert, you're not running any sets for him. You're not going to give him the ball and says, okay, Rudy, go do something.
And by the way, different than Boban.
Yeah.
I had to throw that in.
Yeah, very different than Boban.
All right.
But D.A. can get his own shot 12 to 15 feet. He's money. I mean, think about it. He shot 12 of 15 last night. So I thought that was the difference in the ball games. Those two guys, Cameron Payne and DeAndre Ayton, and the execution down the stretch, because we've seen a lot of times guys draw plays or they're great calling plays out of timeout. They, like, make great adjustments. But to make this, when you have and he tell him on the sideline, Skip, I heard him, he was mic'd up. He's like, hey, Jay, get it up there to the rim, and D.A., you're going to have to go up there and dunk it. Boom.
I thought you didn't listen to the sound.
I heard it last night when they replayed it.
Oh.
No. And plus, I've got a little thing. See my memes I put up. You see that meme, me and you? Somebody put a meme up of me and you. Skip, I don't know who did that.
I don't know who did that.
I think I'm dunking, and I don't know, you might be Zubats.
I think, Shannon, you actually need to have Skip's permission to post these pictures.
And Chris, I'm not sure. I think I'm Aiden. I think Skip
You need
is
to
Zubats.
Get some sleep and stop staying up late putting these pictures together.
Do I get any of the kickback?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, it is now my turn. The Suns won last night because the refs gave it to them, and it's as simple as that. I'm not crying. I am truth-telling, and I'm going to tell the truth one more time. I tweeted the truth immediately. You can check my timeline. That's off Ayton's hands. He's 7 feet tall, and I'm talking about the three-point miss by Bridges from the corner with 3 seconds left. The ball clearly goes off the 7-footer's hands along the baseline, and the ref who calls it is on the far side of the baseline and actually gets blocked out by a player and can't see it. Look at the ref who calls it up top. He gets blocked out by, I think it's Reggie Jackson. Yeah, and he calls it, and he can't even begin to see this play. He's the one who miscalls it. It's blatant, obvious, off the 7-footer's hands, and it goes out of bounds, and it's the Clippers' ball, and the game is over. And you can see Terrence Mann, who is a smart young man because he grew up in a coach's household. His mom's been a coach in college and pro basketball his whole life, and he jumps up and celebrates and claps his hands because he knows the game is over. It's point, whatever it is, 8 or 9 seconds mm-hmm. left. All the Clippers then would have to do is just inbounds the ball, and as soon as it touches your hands, the game is over. There's no way the Suns can win the game if they make the proper call. And in my life of watching and analyzing NBA playoff basketball games, I have never been more baffled, more mystified, more dumbfounded, more flabbergasted than I was during the review time when the ESPN crew, and again, no, I'm not taking shots at them because I love all three of them. They are not good. They are great at what they do. Mm-hmm. But for once, I've never seen a play get more overlooked and underanalyzed than that one because they don't even refer to it during the review time. There were not multiple angles that we got to see on TV of, oh, well, you can see it clearly went off Aiden's hands. They don't even discuss it during the timeout in the review. They are only talking about, now what do the Suns do now that it's the Suns' ball?
Right.
And I am screaming at my television, it's not the Suns' ball. Let me see more replays.
We got
and
more.
The only replay we get is this overview, the one from way up top.
Right.
Where, again, it's plain as night to me because it's nighttime in Phoenix. And, boy,
what a night. Yeah, I think Terrence Mann knocked it out.
He did not. It went straight off Aiden's fingertips. You can just see it. It's blatantly off the. He's 7 foot to 6 foot five, and he's way. The ball bounds high. It's blatant robbery. It's an all time robbery because the referees got away with protecting Scott Foster, who's the crew chief, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was last night.
Yeah, he was.
And they go over and huddle and say, well, we could make a case that, well, let's protect ourselves here. Let's stick with the call on the floor. And they have a shot of Terrence Mann in the sideline huddle when they announce that it's the Suns' ball.
Right.
And Terrence Mann is, like, out of his mind looking around like, what are you
Skip,
doing?
Y'all ain't got every call.
I don't care. That's the
review?
Call. That's the call. That changes everything. That makes the series 1-1. I'm sorry. It's so blatant that it's all-time robbery, and it knocks out everything. It wipes out the two missed free throws. I give you that. But Paul George was all-time great in that 9-point salvo from 2:41 down to 20 seconds left. He was so
What about the other 45 minutes before that?
Okay, well, he's having a bad night like Trae Young had back in Game 7 when he was 5 of 23. But all I heard about was he sucked it up and guttered it up in the fourth quarter, and he made a jumper and a runner and a logo three. Way to go.
It was perfect from the free throw line, had 11 assists, and
okay,
they won the game.
All right, fine. Well, look who led the Clippers in scoring last night, Paul George. Who led them in rebounding? Look at it.
Skip, yeah, he took all the shots.
Yeah, okay. Well, he had a poor shooting night, but when it was time to make one, when he was 0 of 7 from 3, he clutched up. When it was time to make a 22-footer to cancel out Devin Booker's jump shot, he clutched up.
What about the five missed free throws?
Okay, he made two free throws at 56 seconds left, but you don't give him any credit for that, right?
No. That's okay. How we do it. That's
I got
what we
it.
Do here.
So he barely missed the first one, and he overcompensated and back-ironed the second one.
Go ahead, Chris.
Even if you're right, and it's you're right, from that angle, it's hard to tell who it was out on.
No.
Even if you're right, though, what would have overridden that is if Paul George had hit the two free throws.
Okay,
if he
but you're
the
looking
two
at
free throws,
it upside down.
Phoenix, now, yeah, they got a chance to hit a three-pointer, but we know the likelihood of them doing that is probably slim. So the two free throws have to be the main reason.
Okay, but I can also argue back to you that this wipes the slate clean. All you need is the one correct call. And again, I showed you Scott Foster. He gets shielded by Reggie Jackson walking in front of him, clear up the baseline. He can't, and that's who made the call.
Yeah.
How can you make that call? You can't even begin to see who that's off.
Chris, did you remember the call that they called on Devin Booker on the offensive foul on the layup? When Kane Fitzgerald is at half court, he makes that call?
Yes.
Or when they review, they didn't call a foul. They just go to the replay to review to see if it's a flagrant and say, well, we didn't call it. Well, it's an offensive foul. You can't do that. That's not what replay is for.
Okay, but that call that I'm talking about is the call. And then insult to injury on the final dunk call. I'm going to bring it up one last time. Ayton reaches out and grabs Zubac's jersey and yanks him back so that he can get around Devin Booker's pick to get completely free to go to the basket.
But
he grabs his jersey.
Him.
I mean, it's just a blatant, it's a foul.
Zubac was holding him.
He was not
yes,
holding
him. Yes, he was. Go back to the top.
Him.
You can look at this. Give that a prize.
He's not holding him. It's not. He's just.
Good job.
Hey, he's reached holding. Out, grabbed a hold of his, got a fistful of jersey, and impeded his progress. It's a blatant foul call that they did not have the guts to make. And I get it. There's no Kawhi Leonard. He's gone for the playoffs. So what does the league need? The league needs Phoenix to advance to the finals because we have an emerging superstar in Ayton. We got CP3 back, and obviously Devin Booker has arrived as maybe the best shooter in basketball.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Way to go.
But Skip, how many, I mean, I don't agree with what you said about the Ayton foul, because they're both kind of grabbing each other.
Grabbed his
but
jersey.
But we could go back to Jordan against Utah. We could go back to Kareem against Lambeer and the Phantom foul call.
Okay, but Chris,
I mean, if we start doing this,
okay, timeout. You know, and I know the game was officiated very differently then, because you could hand check and hand fight. And so, yeah, Jordan had a little push off on Brian Russell. I got it, but that's the way the game was played. He didn't reach out and grab his jersey and throw him off, right? Hey, if you grab jersey, that's a foul. In any era, that's a foul.
Skip, they called a foul on Jay Crowder because they say he hit him before Paul George charged him. They called one on Devin Booker. They said he hit him before Paul George fouled him. Now, look, I didn't like the official. I thought the officials were too involved. And anytime you put Scott Foster and Kane Fitzgerald on the same team, they're going to interject themselves. They want you to know that they were officiating a game. So they're going to interject themselves. But at the end of the day, we withstood all of that and got that dub up 2-0.
We 2-0. Now you're on the Phoenix bandwagon?
Suns, baby, rising, Suns. We rising, Chris. The Suns, baby.
The Suns are about to get sunned on Thursday night.
Oh, we already got two cases. He gave me two cases that the Clippers going to win on Thursday.
Yeah. No mercy.
Chris Paul missed the first two Suns wins over the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, but may see a return in L.A. According to reports, CP3 is hopeful to return for Game 3 as long as he clears the league's health and safety protocols. So Chris Broussard, still with us. Chris, if CP3 returns tomorrow night, is this series over? Simple as that.
Well, Jen, you know I've learned not to count out the Clippers. All right, after Dallas, I counted them out 0-2. After Denver, I all but counted them out 0-2. And after Kawhi, I definitely counted them out. So I'm shocked that they're here. So I can't say they have a 0% chance to win this series. I won't bury them right now. But I, with or without Chris Paul, I only give them 5 to 10% chance to win this series. The positives are this. That they already have done it. Paul George said last night, look, we're confident because we've done it before. And he's right. When you can look back and say, look, we've been here. All right. And we've been here against Luka. We've been here against, you know, Donovan Mitchell. We can come back. So they've got that going for them. They've already rewritten history because no one else in the history of the league had ever done it. They've got the fact that Ty Lue, as a coach and who hasn't coached a lot of years, he's done it 4 times. He's come back from 0-2 deficits 4 times, most notably, of course, in 2016 when Cleveland came back and beat Golden State after being down 0-2 and 3-1. So Ty Lue can say he did it. And then they've got this going for him. They haven't been manhandled. It's not like, now we may say Phoenix looks like the better team, but they haven't been manhandled. This is not like a mismatch.
Right.
And actually, the Clippers can tell themselves, we could be up 2-0. So that's what they have going for them. But I still don't think it's likely to do this 3 times in a row. They're facing some things in Phoenix that Dallas and Utah didn't have. Dallas and Utah, their offenses were largely one-man shows. Luke and Donovan would give you between 30 and 45 points or more. And they would set everybody up a lot of the time, Case. So they were. It was easier to stop a one-man offense because they're setting everybody else up as well. Phoenix, man, they moved the ball.
Yep.
They're not based on one player. Obviously, they're missing Chris Paul, and they're still very good. Devin Booker goes 5 for 16, but DeAndre Ayton is there. We know Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges can step up. Cam Johnson hit some big shots, and now you got Cam Payne playing like he's an all-star, you know? So they have a lot more. They're more athletic. And DeAndre Ayton, and you guys said it, obviously gives you things that Gobert and Boban don't give you. But I've said this. Now, of course, I'd rather have Joel Embiid or Nikola Jokic. But in many ways, DeAndre Ayton is like a prototype big man for today's NBA, a prototype 7-footer because he can get out on the perimeter and guard. He's athletic enough to do that.
Yep.
He can protect the rim.
Yep.
You don't have to run a lot of plays for him, and it gets you 20-something. He's efficient, and he can finish around the hoop, not just layups and dunks, but he's got a package, you know, around the basketball area. So he's very good. So I think that 5 to 10% chance that the Clippers can come back in this.
Well, you know, Skip, in Mark Anthony's speech, he says, well, you know, I'm not here to praise. I'm here to bury. But I'm not here to bury the Clippers, but I'm not going to praise them either. I've learned my lesson like you, Chris.
So he's flipped around.
I flipped it around. You know, he came to bury him. He didn't come to praise him. Mm. If he was an honorable man, he would. You know, Skip, you know the thing.
I know it.
Yeah, you know, I had to. I got an A on that. I had to say that in front of the class one time.
You didn't get A's very often.
I didn't get them out very often, but, you know, something I can remember.
You got A's on Shakespeare. Who knew?
Just that part of Shakespeare. Okay. Skip, when you look at the Clippers, I'm like, they got them. Dallas got them. Dallas beat them. I said, oh, yeah, Dallas going to get them. Dallas ain't get them. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, Utah with Donovan back, the way they shoot them threes. I said, Utah going to get them. Mm-mm. Jazz ain't get them. Mm. But this is a different animal. Because they got, if Chris Paul comes back, now, as Chris said, you got Book that gets to go back to his natural, what he does really well, which is score the basketball. Because there's a reason why he only has one triple-double in his career, and it came in game one of the playoffs, game one of the finals, is because that's not what he's best suited for, is to play make. Because think about last night, Chris, of the 8 turnovers they had, he had 7 of them. So now he's not in a position. That's not what he does. He's not a facilitator. He's not a playmaker for others. Let him score the basketball. Let Chris Paul, let Cameron Payne handle that. So now you got Book back to his original schedule programming. You got CP3 coming back to do. And this thing is, their three best players are not three. Now, Book and CP3 can shoot the three, but they're all about the mid-range. They're all about getting to the basket. And so now Utah, Dallas, they're dependent. Make a bunch of threes. Mm. Well, what happens when the threes are not falling? And you ain't got a guy that you can post up. Mm. You can't post Rudy Gobert up. Mm. Really? You try to post up Boban? D.A., I can run plays for him. I don't necessarily have to. Mm. And then Chris Paul. Ooh, he's so close. Chris and Cliff. Both of them close to the finals, Chris. Mm. They right now. Oh, you in a heap of trouble. Mm. You better call Jake.
You give me 5?
Nope, I gave you 2, but 2 cases.
Well, have some guts.
I ain't got no
for
guts.
For once in the history of this show, just have some guts.
I'm a Terminator. I ain't
just
got no guts.
Just say, come on, I'll give you 5.
Damn.
I deserved 5 last night, and I would have won another case.
I know you would have.
Yeah.
But you, hey, I'm going to get this thing down. I got to get it under 20 for football.
So, speaking of Julius Caesar, which you referred to, what happened to Julius in the end?
They did it wrong. You know what happened.
He got assassinated. He got literally stabbed in the back because he underestimated Brutus.
Yes.
Et tu, Brutus? That's the Clippers. They're Brutus. You keep underestimating the Clippers. You do. And now you're up on your high horse. You're just in all your glory today. And you're starting to do just what you did after the first 2 Dallas games. Luka's baby bird, we got this. And you got it up 30-11 on a Friday night in Dallas in game 3. And then what happened?
That hurt.
Brutus happened.
Yep.
What happened in game 4? Brutus happened again. And what happened when Donovan Mitchell was on top of the world? He's unstoppable. He was stoppable in games 3 and 4 at Staples. Brutus got him. Got him twice.
But y'all ain't got Kawhi now.
I give you that. But we also have you right where we want you.
Oh, you do, huh?
We are down 0-2, and we are being mostly written off by, to a certain degree, Chris Broussard, and to every degree by this man right here. He fears them, but now he can't help himself, and he says, basically, it's over. Because if they fall down 0-3, it's done.
Yes.
I will be the first to say that's enough of that. And I give you no Kawhi. So it's very different than those 2 games at Dallas, 3 and 4. And it's very different against Utah at Staples in games 3 and 4. Because in those games, Kawhi Leonard scored 36 and 29 at Dallas and 34 and 31 against Utah at Staples. He averaged 33 and 9 rebounds in those 4 huge games in which they turned the series around to 2-2, right?
Right.
So best player is gone. Maybe the 3rd best player, Marcus Morris, he was hobbled last night. He tried to give it a go. Chris and I have agreed all year they tend to sort of weirdly go as Marcus Morris Sr. goes. He went south last night, 3 of 11, right? You looked in the first quarter, he was 1 of 6. Where are you, Marcus? And yet, they hang in. They hang on. I don't know how they do it. It starts with the head coach.
That's how
they
do it.
Because he never lets them see him sweat. He doesn't sweat. There's no panic. There's no finger pointing. There's no blame deflecting from the head coach down. We got this. We've been in this place before. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
And what I saw last night, which was extraordinary, that I did not see coming, Patrick Beverley did a number on Devin Booker. And finally, he did a physical number because they accidentally headbutted. And Devin took it right in the schnauzer, right? Yep. He got it right. He did. It busted it. It looked like a broken nose to me.
So he got, well, he's probably going to have to wear a mask. He's going to probably have to mask up for the next game.
He might have to, and he probably won't love that. But Patrick Beverley not only gets under his skin, he just got him every way, shape, and form. He was all over him physically, and he bothered him. Again, you're not going to stop this guy, but you were all about 40 or more for a case, right?
Yeah, yep.
He got 20, and he got 20 the hard way because he mostly got it at the free throw line. Yep. 9 of 9. Give it up to you. You know, way to go, Devin. But the point is, they found something with Patrick Beverley on Devin Booker, and if they'll exploit it, if they'll let Patrick play 30 minutes this time, again, Rondo's been pretty good. He's made a couple threes, but Patrick Beverley's been making clutch threes in the fourth quarter. He made three in the closeout game against Utah in the fourth quarter. So I'm starting to trust a shot that he has that's never been that trustable. So if you add all that up, just the Clippers' resilience, just the cardiac Clippers that they are, I like them a lot in game three.
Well, you know now, Skip, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to guard Book because Book's going to be running off screens because he don't have to worry about playmaking.
Okay.
Now he has CP3, so now they're going to be running a lot of screens.
Okay, we'll see about that, which brings me to my final point. Cameron Payne has been a revelation for Phoenix. And Chris, I reminded Shannon earlier, once upon a time, back in 2015, he was the 14th overall pick in the draft. Well, that's pretty great out of Murray State. And he's finally starting at age 26 to live up to it because he's explosive.
Mm-hmm.
He's lightning quick. Paul George was having a hard time in the fourth quarter staying in front of him because he's just not that. At 6'8", Paul's just not that quick.
Mm-hmm.
He's long, but he can't outquick him. So my point is, I got nothing but respect for Chris Paul, and I'm not saying Cam Payne is better than Chris Paul, but right here, right now, after Chris has been off for 11 days, I kind of like it that you're going to have to reinsert him into the starting lineup playing big minutes.
No problem.
Let him play 35, reduce Cam Payne's minutes to 15, and I say advantage Clippers.
Let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Tom Brady been out 3 weeks. He comes back. You're going to be hesitant to put him in if the backup played well?
Okay, but that's football versus
quarterback.
Basketball.
The quarterback. There's a quarterback here.
Mm.
He's the best one.
Well, you just went to the GOAT.
We're
talking about Cameron Payne and Chris Paul.
No, I'm talking about Chris Paul being reinserted.
Okay, Chris Paul has played in one conference finals in his life and no NBA finals. And there may be a reason for that. Maybe we're about to see that.
But yeah, it might be a reason why we about to play in the NBA finals.
Okay, well, are you? I know the refs want it. I know the league office wants it.
Chris,
I got that.
Chris, can you believe this man? He's talking about the referees.
No, because, Skip, look, I think the league has learned during these playoffs that it doesn't matter who's playing. The games are going, as long as the games are exciting, people are going to tune in because it doesn't matter. I'm going to give you a little more fodder, though. Chris Paul has himself been ahead 2-0 three times in the playoffs and lost those series.
Okay.
So this has happened
Point
to
taken.
Chris, too. So, you know, I'm not burying the Clippers, but they're wobbly.
Yeah.
Their knees are buckled, that's for sure.
Oh, like, were they shaking like Paul George last night at the free throw line? I thought somebody was knocking on my door.
Yeah. Speaking of Paul George and those shaky knees, did you see him shaking? Is that what exactly what's happened? Can we actually stay talking about Paul George? Because I feel like after he missed that first one, no one was feeling confident about the second.
I hit fin.
Chris, stick around. I want a letter grade from Paul George from you next.
No mercy.
Saturday, it's a powerhouse showdown at Chavez Ravine as Chris Bryant leads the Cubs against Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. Or it's one of the greatest rivalries in sports as the Yankees take on the Red Sox Saturday, 7 Eastern, only on Fox. Check local listings for the game in your area. Paul George led the Clippers in points last night with 26, but was 1 of 8 from beyond the arc. PG-13 also missed 2 free throws with under 8 seconds left that would have put the Clippers up 3. Instead, the Suns went down and took the lead with the DeAndre Ayton alley-oop. We're going to keep watching that back over and over. Chris, please give PG-13 a letter grade for last night, his performance.
Come on with it, Chris.
Well, you guys, you guys were talking earlier about Shakespeare, and I took Shakespeare in college, but I also took calculus and economics. And the one thing I learned in calculus and economics was, you know, those answers were long and drawn out. And you could, for half of the answer, two-thirds of the answer, you could be going fine, right? You think you're doing well.
Yep.
And you just go awry at one point, and next thing you know, the whole thing is
totally
wrong.
Totally. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's why I struggle.
I know what you're talking about, Chris.
That's Paul George. I get it. He was great down the stretch for the most part. But because of the two missed free throws, and I got high standards for Paul George. Paul George is a perennial all-star. He's all NBA. He's playoff P. He's probably a future Hall of Famer. He's the only star on the floor last night who's been through wars. He's been through wars with LeBron James and with Russell Westbrook by his side and all of these wars he's gone through. Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, they haven't gone through those wars. So, and he shot 5 of 10. We know the two missed free throws at the end. But for him to go 5 of 10 from the foul line, it's an 89% shooter. So, and then 1 of 8, of course, from 3. I might be being kind by giving him a D. A D.
A D? You're being kind?
Yeah, kind.
A D. I mean, Skip. I've watched you for 20 years. 20 years. Look at a guy. Does he need to go nameless?
I think we all know what I'm talking about. We don't call names.
And he could play awesome for 47.
Thank you for bringing him up.
47 minutes. LeBron James. Awesome. LeBron James. 47 minutes and 49 seconds. He could be awesome. He could be Jordan-esque and then some. But miss a free throw. Just one. Or miss a three-pointer. And he blew the game. So, come on. We got to be consistent.
Thanks for bringing up LeGon. He needs a little attention because he doesn't get any here lately.
Override everything.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Hey, you know, I gave him a D-minus, Chris, because old polyester P, because he going to shrink when the heat's on. You know what polyester do when you heat it up, Chris? He nobody too. He got all his. He started messing. He started dating Ernestine, and he got him some new gear. But he had polyester before Ernestine came along. Don't let it fool you, people. Hold on, Chris. I'm with you. The first 45 minutes of the game, Paul George is 7 of 20, 0 of 7 from the 3. That's an F. Now, for 2 minutes and 30 seconds, he scores 9 points. That's an A. In the final 10 seconds, he missed 2 free throws that would have at bare minimum caused it. They could either won the game or, at worst case scenario, you're going to go to overtime. And he clanked. I mean, the first one was short. I thought that was Ben Simmons. I said, well, when did they sign Ben Simmons? Oh, that's Paul George.
That's funny.
Playoff Pete.
Yo, you should be a comic.
Actually, you know, I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about going to the Laugh Factory as soon as I get working on some material right now. But hold on. Chris, what was he doing all that chirping? Oh, they was on me. I'm on their neck. I'm on their neck. Because, you know, they thought it was sweet the way I was struggling last year. Okay. I think it's even sweeter now. You see? Doing all that yapping. And yep. Hey, look at Boogie Cousin, shoved D-Book. You saw Patrick Beverly. He wanted to dap up. He wanted to dap up D-Book because he thought they were with it. Everybody doing that yakking. Oh, and D-Book. I saw Patrick Beverly. You saw him too. D-Book. Hey, D-Book, slap your boy hand. And then all of a sudden, they got quieter than church, Mike. I could hear a rat peeing on cotton. Mm-hmm. They were quieter than that. Hey, Pat Bell. Hey, Pat Bell, talk to your boy. He ain't had nothing to say. Mm. Your day coming. I keep telling you, your day coming. And I believe it's going to arrive on Thursday.
Mm. Give me 5?
No.
Why not? Have some guts.
Paul George got
to talking over there, but you got to put your do where your mouth
D-minus.
Is.
D-minus.
Huh?
D-minus. I won this off of you.
I'm up 32 cases. How did you win that off me?
I won that off of you over the weekend, celebrating parlay.
So, let's put this in perspective here. The player you tell me is the quote-unquote GOAT, who is still the quote-unquote best player on the planet, is named, I think, LeBron James. I don't know whatever happened to him. Yeah. I don't know where he went, but that's who you tell me is still the GOAT.
Him and KD
and
vacation.
You say he is the biggest face on Mount Rushmore of the NBA,
big
right?
Big face, yeah, to the
so
left.
Now we are comparing Paul George to LeBron James. That's what you just did. So you put him in the same conversation, which is a huge compliment to Paul George.
No. What we did is that, hold on, Chris, you remember in the bubble when Dame Lillard missed those free throws and somebody came on here that Monday and was yakking? Mm-hmm. You remember when Luka Doncic missed those free throws and somebody came on here yakking? No, we compared them to them. How about that? Now, would you have that same energy?
I got the same energy because what happened last night is, in the end, Paul George went LeBron James because LeBron is simply the worst late-game free-throw shooter in the history of the NBA when it comes to superstars. I can show you the stats. He has often run from the late-game free-throw line because he wants no part of it, because you want to talk about LeBricking free throws. He's the all-timer at it. So I'll give you, Paul George went LeBron late in the game.
Skip. No, he did not.
But that's all I will give you, because now we need some perspective. We need some context. This is a man who in the bubble last year was shamed and ridiculed for melting down mentally and psychologically. He was ridiculed to the point he was called Pandemic P on the internet, and even you adopted that nickname and ridiculed him sitting in your chair often because you said he is so mentally soft and weak, he needed counseling in the bubble. He couldn't take it. LeBron could take it. They were there for 100 days or whatever it was.
They were.
Way to go, LeBron. And you got to play the fifth seed in the finals, minus two of their best players. Way to go. Congratulations. You get a cubic zirconia ring for that. So Paul George has to suck it up and come out of that and take all that you-know-what all year long from player after player, starting with one of the biggest trash talkers, Devin Booker, who was all in his ear all year about, you are soft, you folded, you can't take the heat. So given the fact that Paul George finally had a bad night shooting, given the fact that he was under extreme heat because there's no Kawhi Leonard and you are the man for the Clippers, what he pulled off from the 241 mark all the way down to 22 seconds left in that game was extraordinary for Playoff P. I've never been prouder of Playoff P, because I got to show everybody those shots. One more time, we got to see him, because the first one comes with 241 left, and he is 0 for 7 from 3. And you want to talk about clutch? This cuts it to 3. That's a game saver. 56 seconds left. He goes to that free throw line willingly and makes both of them to cut the lead to 1. Then 30.9 seconds left, he drives it all the way through everything and gets to the rim to give them the lead by 1.
Yeah.
And then the shot of the night. Is this not as clutch a jumper? This cancels out one by Devin Booker on the other end to give them the lead by 1.
Right.
And I give you, he went LeBron at the free throw line late. But given that 9-point salvo in a matter of only 2 minutes' time to put them right back in command, they went for nothing to everything thanks to Playoff P. I'm giving him a B-plus for that effort last night. Way to go, Playoff P.
Chris, you also remember in the bubble when Dame Lillard missed those two free throws, who was on the sideline clowning? Talk about, I thought it was Dame time. Who was all on the bench with Patrick Beverly, keying. Mm-hmm. And now look at him.
Yep, he's an 85% career free throw shooter.
How you 85? So that means that got to be something got to do with that.
You know what? Paul George in postseason games has been money from the free throw line. He finally missed a couple.
Except when he wasn't.
It happens. He's human.
No. Yep. Hold on. Chris, did that man say, so now somebody's finally human? So somebody is finally human now.
Well, LeGon's not human.
No,
that's what you're telling me.
Why do you do this? Why do you get...
I'm just telling the truth. If the referees hadn't stolen it, well, seriously, we wouldn't even be talking about the 2 minutes.
So now the referee stole the game from you.
Well, you know it and I know it. I just proved it to you.
Chris, get your man.
Skip, he's got to hit one. At least one.
Okay,
at least
Chris,
one. That's it. Just hit one.
Okay, with 56 seconds left, did he hit both of them? Yeah.
No, but Skip, that don't matter.
Fine. It doesn't matter.
That's like a quarterback. You get them all the way back in the game. You get them the lead. The team goes down, kick a field goal to retake the lead. And you drive the field. Now you get an opportunity to win the game. It's kind of like what you said about Aaron Rodgers. If he was that guy, he'd have got right. If he was that guy, that's what you told me.
The guy who's 1-4 in NFC championship
games? Well, I don't know. So what followed George in championship games?
Well, he's always been the complimentary star, so it hadn't been all on him.
Think about it. Now he'll come. The guy that you Skip, you gave him the name George Paul. Mm-hmm. You the one made
it. Indiana, I called him George Paul.
Because
I told you, he could not stand up to LeBron James with no help.
Okay.
He is complimentary at best. He is a 1A.
But can he stand up to Devin Booker?
Well, he did last night.
I just wanted him to stand up to Devin Booker.
No, he didn't. He did not, Skip. You know it.
How about that 22-footer to go back at that? He said no.
Terrence Mann saved his bacon on Friday night.
Mm.
You know that. Terrence Mann saved his bacon on Friday night with Reggie Jack.
Terrence Mann just did what he did if you give him an opportunity that Doc Rivers never gave him.
This ain't about Doc. This is not about Doc, because Paul George blamed Doc last year. Now, I'm sure somewhere his Doc Rivers fault that Paul George missed those two free throws because he's running on flares and pin downs. Mm. So I get all that. So we're going to blame Doc, but this ain't about Doc.
So against Utah, Paul George in the fourth quarter, six fourth quarters, averaged almost 10 points a game. And last night, he did it again, another 10 points in the fourth quarter, and he's pandemic P. Thank you.
Polyester P, because he shrinks when it's hot. But let me ask you a question. P. What about the 5-for-10 from the free throw line?
Yep.
Now, you told me he's an 89% guy in the playoff.
Yep.
So how do you get to 50%?
He had a bad night. He had a bad night shooting it from...
Can't have that.
Okay, but when it was time, all I heard about Trae Young the other night was, he's 2-for-16 going to the fourth quarter.
What was he from the free throw line?
He's 1-of-11
from 3. What was he from the free throw line?
Okay. He made his free throws.
Okay,
I give you that. But what happened? He couldn't hit the broad side of Atlanta bar. What's your hometown?
Glenville.
A Glenville bar. And he couldn't hit the broad side of a Glenville bar.
You do really?
Right? Yeah. And what did he do? He finally hits a little jumper and a little floater and a logo three.
Yeah.
And everybody says, look at him. He had the guts to stand tall.
29-11. Let me ask you this. That's a 5-seed. You do realize they took down a 1-seed.
Mm.
Now, your guy right there. PG.
Yeah, right now we should be like a 12 seed with no Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, we got Chris Paul.
Huh.
You're
back
Skip,
in business.
I could handle Paul missing a jump shot.
Yeah.
Missing a contested drive in the lane. You know, that happens.
Yeah.
Because the best shooters miss half of their jump shots. But two free throws?
Free throws. Skip said they're free. That's what you say. You say the term free throws.
They are.
Oh.
And he's one of the better free throw shooters in the league.
I can't tell.
And the Clippers set the all-time record
that
for free throw shooting in a regular season.
I'm glad you said that. Now, what did you say that again? You say he's one of the best, and the Clippers set the record for the all-time best free throw percentage in the season.
They did.
So that makes it even worse than what you should have just kept that to yourself. So you mean to tell me a man that's part of the team that set the NBA record for free throw percentage?
Every once in a while, you're going to miss one.
No, you can't do... Oh, every once in a while. So LeBron not allowed to do that.
Well, he misses them regularly.
No, he don't.
He misses them so much, he would have run from that. Look, Paul George broke down into the backcourt to say, give me the ball, I want to get fouled. He was the one who wanted to go to the free throw line. LeBron would have gone and hidden up in the formation up in the front court.
Well, he should have. Because now he got exposed.
Yep.
Now everybody looking at him.
Yep.
Everybody, what was trending last night?
Pandemic P, right?
Yeah, we're going to get it. Yeah, I told you. I told you, Skip Bayless, your day coming. It ain't
no
done
mercy.
Yet.